Blog Talk Radio.
Can't work the audio very well. That's what this show is. I'm Robert Cooperman, and I'm welcoming you to yet another adventure in the voice of conservative theater. It's Sunday at 1:30 here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, that's not the introduction I had. All right, stop it, guys. That is not the introduction I had planned for this show. This is the introduction I had planned. And Blog Talk Radio, folks, I had it set as my intro. Why didn't it play? Anyway, this is what I wanted to play. Yeah. Everybody loves it. Everybody knows it. The chairman of the board.
Start spreading the news.
Yeah, why, Frank, why?
I'm leaving today.
I just got back.
I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
Yes, I just came back, as you know, from New York. And it's an open question whether I'm going to get to go back again. I can go back anytime I want. Let's face it. But under the auspices of the New York New Works Theater Festival. Hey, before we get to that and all the stuff I want to talk about today, I want to remind you that we are always, always supported by our friends at Xander Business Group. They provide social media monitoring and online risk assessments for your child's online presence. You know, so folks, the internet never forgets. Aren't we seeing examples of this every day, that people get exposed on the internet, on social media? And now Ashley Madison? Anyway, it's even more important now for parents, teachers too, take a proactive role in protecting their child's safety as well as online reputation. So what you're going to want to do is contact Xander Business Group, because they can help you figure all this stuff out. Xander Business Group can be reached at 760-865-9614. That's 760-865-9614. Or you can email info, at Xander Business Group. That's all one word, and Xander is spelled with an X. Okay, for those of you silly people out there who thought it was spelled with a Z, shame on you. Xander Business Group, Xander, businessgroup.com, info@xanderbusinessgroup.com. Hey, if you want to talk to me, you can do that. All you have to do is call 347-884-9659. That's 347-884-9659. You'll get patched right into me. And we can have a conversation about the things I'm talking about today. And what I'm talking about today is my adventures in New York City. Oh, not again. All right. So just to get everybody up to speed here as to why I was traveling. So I'm a playwright. And that's usually something I don't like to say, because when you say that, it implies that you are doing this regularly and being paid for it. I'm a writer. I'm a playwright. Okay, so I'll rephrase it. I like to dabble in playwriting. And if I can have something produced, then I will say I'm a playwright, or I am the playwright of this particular show. Anyway, so I've been entering some contests lately, and I entered a contest called the New York New Works Theater Festival. And I entered it. You had to have a very short play, 20, 25 minutes tops. And I entered it with a play called The Flower Stand. The Flower Stand, I think I've described on this show before, but every week I have new listeners. So just to remind you that The Flower Stand, or inform you, that The Flower Stand is the story of a flower salesperson named Eliza. Yes, I know, Pygmalion, yeah, he stole it. Eliza sells flowers on a street corner from a little cart. She talks about her knowledge of the people who buy flowers from her, because she can tell everything she needs to know about these people from the flowers they buy. But the one person she just can't figure out is old Mr. Goldberg. And Mr. Goldberg has been buying flowers from her every day, every morning. And she's trying to figure out what the heck he's doing with them. And the play, only about 20-something minutes, goes through the various things, various scenarios that she comes up with. And at the end, we find out exactly why he's buying these flowers. And Eliza, the question is, I guess, does Eliza learn her lesson? I don't want to give anything away here. We had a preview of this play in Columbus, Ohio, where we live. And because I really couldn't rehearse actors in New York, while some of the folks in these shows got equity actors, let me tell you something. Who's giving these people their cards? Oh, my God. They had to have gotten. There were people who were acting on that stage when I was there, and I'll tell you about it, who should not have actors' equity cards unless they got it for doing something else. And it fell under the framework, under the umbrella of the union. Because were they bad. Anyway, well, maybe it was just the playwriting, which I want to talk about. All right, so because I could not get actors in New York to rehearse with me while I'm here in Columbus, my daughter Heather and I portrayed Eliza and Goldberg, respectively. And we had a preview in Columbus, Ohio on August 13th. There must have been about 60 people who attended. Look, they're all my folks, right? They were there to see me or Heather or some for my son Matthew, who composed the music. People who work with my wife, people who work with me, friends, etc. So it's a biased audience. I get that. It's a biased audience, and they came in, and they hooped and hollered, and they really enjoyed it, and we had a good, fun time. We did the Capital University. At the Huntington Recital Center, and we did it, and we had a great time. And the next morning, I drove off to New York, which is why I was not able to do a show last Sunday. And last Sunday was a great fiasco. So anyway, got into New York, took us a couple of days on by design. We stopped off in Pennsylvania, then pulled in, stayed with a friend way out on Long Island, way out there, Farmingville. Anybody ever hear of it? Farmingville. The people who live there haven't heard of it. So anyway, so the whole thing with the flower stand, we brought all of the necessary things that we needed. And that includes, that includes the playbills. Because the New York New Works Theater Festival, for some reason, could not arrange to have playbills created for those evenings. So that fell on the writers. So I had to make playbills. Now, I found this out about a day and a half before I had to leave for New York, and I was not showing up without playbills. Fortunately, I had created a playbill for the Columbus performance. So I made a few adjustments, and one of the things I did is I modeled it off a regular playbill. I went downstairs, and I found a playbill that I had. I have tons of playbills. And I found one from a play I had seen on Broadway years and years ago, Arsenic and Old Lace. It was an all-star cast. It was Tony Roberts in the lead. It was Abe Vigoda, Gene Stapleton, Polly Holiday. I mean, you had a lot of recognizable people on that stage. And let me tell you that show sucked. It was panned, that show, and it wasn't very good. However, so I hope that wasn't a bad omen, but I fashioned the playbill that I made on the regular playbill, including the yellow box, you know, the yellow rectangle that says playbill. Well, I didn't want to get in trouble with the playbill people, so for my Columbus performance, I called it duckbill. However, when we got to New York, I really was afraid that the playbill people would get upset, so I changed the color from yellow to blue, and I just called it program. I don't know how I thought of this. Don't know. Anyway, we had a very nice color folded program, which, you know, I modeled on the playbill. So fortunately, I had that. Fortunately, I was able to get it printed in time, picked up, and we had it with us on the way to New York. All right. So brought in everything, including the flower cart that we were going to use and all the flowers and everything, you know, and schlepped it over in a car, and then had to figure out how I was going to get it downtown, which I did by putting it in a large suitcase. Let me tell you, fortunately, my friend had a large suitcase that you could fit people in. It was that large, and that fit everything I needed. And there, my daughter and I are going to head off. Okay, so Sunday morning, last Sunday, we have an 11:30 call for our tech rehearsal. Now, I paid $40 to the technician, a very nice person, to run my lights and do my sound. I had the music, as I said. We had a couple of very easy lighting cues, etc. And we each got an hour and 45 minutes. An hour and 15. How am I going to get there? Well, I'm not driving into the city. I'm going to take the Long Island Railroad. Long Island Railroad, I've never had a bad experience with. Always, it's a nice straight run to Penn Station, clean trains. I mean, it's just really nice. So we bought tickets. We get on the tracks. We get on at the Ronkonkoma station. I don't know if anybody from New York is listening, but way out there, Ronkonkoma. And we get on, and usually I'm on the Babylon line. This was because my sister lives in North Belmore. So we'd get off at Belmore and visit with her. But because I was staying this particular Sunday last week with my friend in Farmingville, we took the Ronkonkoma line. So my daughter and I get on the train, and we sit down. We're like, okay, we know what to do. As soon as we get off of Penn Station, we'll go to 8th Avenue, get off at 8th Avenue, and walk straight down to the theater, which is on 43rd and 8th, about a 9-10 block walk. Get on the train, and about 20 minutes into the trip, train stops in the Farmingdale station. Farmingdale, this is. This is in Nassau County. And the conductor announces, everybody off. We are evacuating this train. There was a small plane that crashed on the train tracks. And we can't go into the city. And people coming outside further back cannot get into Long Island. And thus began a wonderful experience in... forget it! Stop it already! Okay. So we get off at Farmingdale. And they tell us, when we get off, they said, listen, we're going to have buses. The buses are going to take you to Penn Station. Okay, fine. We get off... And as soon as we get off, there's buses there. There's school buses. I don't care what kind of bus. I'm like, oh, I have plenty of time. Okay? You can get on. So we look. Oh, no, that's not our buses. Those are for the Mud Runners. I don't know what the hell that is. But those were for the Mud Runners convention. Hundreds of people. Hundreds of people. All look like they're going to do some running. All get on those. They get to go wherever they want to go. I'm stuck in Farmingdale. Anyway, make a long story short, we were there about, I would say, an hour. Buses never came. There were no buses to Penn Station. First they said, about a half an hour, buses will be here. Then they said, no, we can't find any buses. You can't find buses in New York. You're at an MTA, Mass Transit Authority station, run by the state. You can't find a bus in New York. And I said to myself, I bet you, and I can't prove this, so don't get mad at me, but if it was Giuliani, we'd get the buses. But we got that ridiculous socialist now, de Blasio. But that's the city. I get it. But I want to blame him anyway. Anyway, so turns out my sister picks me up, and we go back, and we're going to go in for a later time. But here's what happened. I called the New York New Works Festival, and I said, look, I left her a message. I said, this is what happened. I'm not going to make this 11:30 call. I hope when I show up, I'm going to come by. As soon as I can get out there, I said, I hope you'll accommodate me. She calls back and says, oh, we've got a full roster here. If you can't make it during your time, I said, you're telling me I'm not going to have a tech? I paid for a tech. I paid my person for a tech. You're not going to have a tech rehearsal for me? Well, maybe tomorrow I can fit you in tomorrow. I said, that's fine. You fit me in tomorrow. I said, okay, the day of the show. I'm going to have a tech in the morning, then go back, and then I'm going to go back to New York for the evening performance. I said, okay. I said, yeah, we'll do that. I said, but I want you to know that that's a terrible inconvenience that you couldn't accommodate me. And she said, look, I'm sorry, but, you know, then I'd have to call the other lighting designers and the designers. We're in a theater, a little theater, the Electra Theater, no design. It was lights up, lights down. Spot here, spot there. There was no colored lights. You know, we didn't have any gels. He said, I have to make all those calls so, you know, you can understand my position. Here's what I understand. We get there. You say, oh, gee whiz, we're so sorry this happened. Hey, we're going to fit Robert and his team in here, and then we're going to, you know, we'll be a little bit later. All of a sudden, they want to stick to schedule. All right, turns out they call me back in about 10 minutes. I have good news for you. She says, I want you to be happy. How about 5:45? I said, that would be great. Thank you. So 5:45, they squeezed me in because somebody couldn't do it. Okay? So people do cancel. I had a legitimate reason. Our tech went well. I know what they say. Bad tech, good show. My tech went fine. We got it all figured out. Music cue, little bits of lighting, had different lighting effects, lights up, lights down at various levels. At different parts of the stage, because most of the play takes place on a city street, but a small piece takes place in a cemetery and in Mr. Goldberg's apartment. We got to the show. I got there. I had a 6 o'clock call. I got there at 5:30. Wasn't taking any chances. And daughter helped me with my makeup. And all the people start coming in from the other shows. All very nice. The people I talked to, generally very nice. And just to tell you the show, we were third on the bill. So there were two shows in front of us I didn't get to see. One I heard a little bit of. The other one I did not. And that's because I had to stay backstage in a waiting area. But when it was time for us to go on next, what they would do is they would take the first show out. They would take the second show, get them on stage, and get me the third show in the little holding pen, which was a kitchen. Okay. With permits that I was looking around, the permits had not been approved since 2012. So I don't want to eat in this kitchen. It's a theater complex. You know, they have stuff. Anyway, so my daughter was going back and forth listening to the things that were going on stage, the second show. So we get up, we get backstage. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in between the shows because the producers are talking and saying who's in the, you know, this panel of judges in this show. I don't know if I've explained fully that this is the first round and we could make it to the semifinal round, which would be in about a week and a half if we get positive, I don't know, vibes, reviews, feedback from the not only the audience but the judges. And the judges are Broadway people and Emmy-winning people. Hinton Battle is one of the judges. But not all the judges, this panel, I don't know, 10 judges, not all of them are there every night. So there were only about two or three there when I was, for my show, for our opening night. All right, so we get up on stage. They said, and now The Flower Stand by Robert Cooperman. Lights come up, no music. I said to my daughter, don't move. Not coming out without music. That music was written for the show. It's part of the show. Lights come down again. Lights go up again. No music. I'm not moving. Guy comes running back, one of the producers. You're on! You're on! Like, we don't know this. We're standing in the wings. I said, yeah, where's my music cue? I said, I have a music cue. I paid a technician. I say that a lot, don't I? I paid a technician to start my music. I said, we're not coming out without music. Okay. He runs out. Needless to say, 3 minutes after they did some ad-libbing on stage, we got it set. We had a great show. We had a great show. Our show was tight. We knew our lines. We were, it's really my daughter's show here because I don't have a lot to do as Goldberg. We got a lot of laughs, and it's not a comedy necessarily. There's some funny things. There's no jokes. There's no shtick. There's no slapstick. And there's no sketches. And we got a great response. When I came back, people came over to me, family, friends, and others, who pretty much told me that the first two plays were, in the words of my aunt by marriage, excruciating. Torturous was another word I heard. Boring. Inconceivable. And I'm saying to myself, boy, what did they reject if they accepted this? But I didn't see those plays. I only heard a little bit of one of them. And then after my show, I felt very, very good. I sat down. A lot of people left. It's beyond my control. I sat down, and I watched the remaining three shows. Because no matter what, I'm always going to support the other people on my bill. Always did this in college. I always supported people. when we were doing like drama scenes, you know, we had a class where we had to direct a scene. I always went every night for everybody. Even if I hated you, I went because I felt it was the right thing to do. So rather than leave, which I could have done, I sat there and I saw three more plays. And that leads me to talk about lousy playwriting. Now, before I get into that, I want to tell you, as of this moment now, which is 1:50 p.m., and we've only got less than 10 minutes, I still do not know if I will be in the semifinal round, which will start the last week of August into early September. I do not know. We were told, I wrote to them, and I said, please, let me know as soon as you can, because I'm going to have to make flight arrangements. And, you know, the closer to the flight date, the more expensive the flight. Let's face it. They said they'll see what they can do. I've heard nothing. So I don't know if this means I'm not going to be chosen. And if I don't, something is wrong with the world. Because if the other plays on the first week of the bill, and I'm going to guess mostly they were, as poor as the ones I saw or heard about the night of my show, then something's wrong. It's either rigged, there's money behind it, something. Because in terms of pure theatrical performance, The Flower Stand had it all. Good acting, of course a fabulous script, a tight show that worked. Okay? You don't have to agree with any of its themes. It worked. These other shows that I saw and or heard were, I was sitting there shaking my head saying, oh, I knew this was coming. I knew this was coming. There was nothing. There was nothing there. Let me tell you a little bit about lousy playwriting. Okay? So I was sitting there as I was tuning in and out to the various things I was watching. I said to myself, all right, I know bad writing when I hear it. I try not to practice that. I know bad writing when I hear it. Playwright, right? Playing is plays, I hear it. What makes a lousy play? Now, last time we were on the air, we talked about the one-word titles. Lousy playwrights love one-word titles, and I named a few of them from the New York New Works Festival. They love one-word titles because they think that that one word is going to have so much meaning that you're going to drop dead from the meaning. That's why I think there is one on the bill. I'm not looking at it now. It's called Doors. Doors. Wow. I mean, like, wow. Okay? So, more about lousy playwriting. Sitcom situations. I talked about this on an earlier show. Usually of the who am I going to F this weekend variety. You turn on television today, which is where these playwrights are getting nurtured, okay? And all you hear or see are people with making sex jokes and where they're going to get action. I was listening to, not watching, but listening to, because it was in the same room with me, the new Odd Couple show with Matthew Perry. And Oscar Madison's character spends the entire play looking to get laid. This is what Oscar Madison, even a character as weak, if you will, fully developed as a Neil Simon character, right? There's nothing in Neil Simon's play, nothing, that talks about his main goal in life is to get laid, which goes with another character they had on the show for a while, was this handsome former baseball player. All I ever talked about was scoring with women. This is what these people know. And they think this is good writing because some schmuck is getting lots and lots of money in Hollywood to write this crap. And the imbeciles are sitting at home, that's funny, he wants to get laid. Okay, quickly, because we only have 5 minutes. Sketches. These plays are sketches. They're not plays. They're sketches. As a matter of fact, one of the plays was not a play. So I don't know how it got accepted. It was a one-woman show. It was called Victoria, Queen of Tinder. Now, the person who was in the show, not naming names, she was a lovely person. Fun, funny, talkative, I mean, she was just wonderful. But I knew when she was talking a little bit about her play, and I keep very quiet about what I'm doing, but when she's talking a little bit about her play, I knew we were in for it because she started doing Fran Drescher. She started doing that exaggerated New York accent, you know, like a Joan Rivers Fran Drescher baby. And her show was supposedly a class. We were the audience, were the class participants. And she was talking about, I don't know what she was talking about. Tinder apparently is some kind of a dating online site, I guess. And she was saying how to be successful on Tinder. So, you know, dating and sex. And the ultimate goal, as she said three or four times, to make babies. And I'm sitting there, what is this? Now, to prove that she really knew a lot about playwriting, even though this was not a play, she spent a good 3 minutes of her 20 minutes handing out her business card. But the business card wasn't Victoria. It was the actress. It was the actress's business card. So who the hell was she up there? Don't get me wrong. Lovely person backstage. Then, to further insult our intelligence, she wasted another 2.5 to 3 minutes handing out finger puppets. You heard me right, folks. She handed out finger puppets, and we all put the finger puppets on. I put mine on my third finger, you know, that middle finger. That's where I put mine. So every time I waved it at her, I felt good. That's what went through. Now, I don't know where I stand with my play, but if that gets in, something's wrong. Okay? Here's another topic, other than these sketches with these limited characterizations. Death and dying. Oh, lousy playwrights love death and dying because right away it gives them some gravitas. And sure enough, we had two plays about death and dying. One took place in a hospital called Au Revoir. That's French. It means goodbye. I wish they would have said it as soon as the lights went up. There was a doctor in an obligatory doctor's lab coat. And a clipboard. I mean, that's what you have to have when you're a doctor. You have to have a clipboard and a lab coat and a stethoscope. And he had all that. This was an acting actor. Couldn't act his way out of a paper bag, this guy. But again, he had some bad lines. And a young lady sitting there. And then there's an older woman sitting at the front of the stage. And apparently the older woman was actually dying from some kind of a medical malpractice. And they wanted to take her off life support. And that's what this was all about, is the old woman tries to come to terms. It was poorly acted. It was so trite. This gets on. If this gets to the semifinal round, something is wrong. And I don't. Even if I do, and this does, something's wrong. And, of course, then we get revealed in the middle of things. Oh, but don't forget when her brother died. I only have 90 seconds. Terrible. The other one was La Gioconda. You all know what La Gioconda is, right? Mona Lisa. Well, how does that figure into the play? Two characters. One was named Mona. Any guesses on what the other was named? Yes? Lisa, that's right. La Gioconda has nothing to do with the Mona Lisa other than Mona and Lisa were on stage. This took place in a woman's prison. They're sharing a room. Mona, a black lady, who, of course, goes through the obligatory long monologue about how her young brother was killed in gang violence, and of course it's everybody else's fault. And of course he was innocent. The other one was Stark Raving Mad. And then we realized very quickly where this all came from. Orange is the New Black. So, but death and dying. Oh, and at the end of La Gioconda, I'm not giving anything away because there's nothing to give away here. After the black lady gives her monologue, the other lady who's mad as a hatter kills her. How? Snaps her neck. Let me tell you. She must be Dracula snapping the neck of Renfield, because I don't know how any human being could do this. Anyway, there's more to talk about. There's more to talk about, but I got to go. Wish me luck. Watch me on Facebook, Stage Right on Facebook, and we'll keep in touch as to whether I'm going to get to the semifinal round. Wish me luck.